The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. 150 Izzle. It's Gil Alexander. That right there is Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Hey.
Still to come this hour, Matt Grissom on college baseball, Jason Weingarten from under a cloud of smoke, whatever he's betting these
days. That's right.
Always looking good, by the way. Should be pointing out. How about Warren with the schedule? He gets into it, man.
Oh, that was great. Great conversation. I was just thinking in the back of the go-tos that I have to have every summer when I'm prepping NFL. You got to wait for the VSiN NFL betting guide to come out, but you got to have Warren's preview guide. You got to have the FTN one with all of Aaron Schatz info. Those are at least the three that I go to every single summer.
Yeah, it's a good time of year. And they work on it. They just press forward. It takes them a month to put it together, month and a half. And then it pretty much comes out earlier and earlier every year. And of course, we'll have our own VSiN Pro Football betting guide as well this summer as well. But wanted to give Warren his shine as well on that. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to go country clubbing. Yeah. Where is that club?
I don't know.
And why weren't we in?
Probably some backlot studio in Hollywood somewhere. I don't know. Probably some really sad location we don't want to know.
Plying him with drinks all day long. All right, tennis's second major of the year, the French Open. Tennis's major on clay, or as the cool kids call it, Roland Garros. You know what the main court is called once again, Kelly? You remember what it's called? Philippe.
Philippe Chatrier.
Philippe Chatrier.
Wait, I got it right. Cool. I was trying to remember the second name. I couldn't remember if it was Chatrier or like when there was an L in there.
Oh no, Chatrier. Yeah. I don't know who Philippe Chatrier is, but I should probably look it up. Roland Garros, I think, was like some kind of explorer or something. I don't know. Anyway, I'm missing the point here.
I got a lot of research to do.
Well, Kelly does that. So yesterday, Drew Dinsick, Zach Cohen, and I, tennis hardos, we did our podcast. We do it for every major. We also do it for Indian Wells, the fifth major, the de facto fifth major. But we did the French Open Beating the Book podcast. I invite everybody to check it out. I'll retweet it on my Twitter feed yesterday. We did YouTube Live on it yesterday. And so we got into it, and it's a great lesson in, you know, when we do these podcasts, the difference between tennis and golf, say, is tennis has a draw for every one of these majors, right? There's a bracket.
Yep.
And so it's not always done, you know, if they were just doing it by seeding every time, the same people would play the same people every one of these tournaments. So they have to mix it up. And so the draw, while we have pre-draw betting thoughts, the draw often makes it crystal clear or muddies up the whole picture and therefore oftentimes triggers bets or oftentimes takes you off potential bets. Let's start with the women's side. What happened on the women's side was the draw was such that it kind of took me off any bet in terms of like an outright. Now, obviously, we're going to do day by day, match by match, that kind of thing. But on the ladies' side, the only thing that I had was a really bad number that at one time looked like a really great number on Iga Swiatek, the former world number one, who has won 4 French Opens, and she's still 23 years old. 4 of her 5 majors here at the French Open. She was the queen of clay till this year, and it hasn't looked good on the run-up. Now, Rafa had some times, by the way, the king of clay, had some strange years where he looked weird on his way to the French Open, but then it would magically return. Who knows? Maybe it will with Iga. But remember, Iga was like minus 175 mm-hmm. all calendar year, and even I was like, that's too much. And then there was a stray plus 117 over at Bookmaker, and I was like, I got to grab that, and I did. Now, after her play, which is something's up with Iga, believe me, and then after the draw, she's drifted all the way to like plus 350. So my great number is now a sucky number, I believe is the technical term. But anyway, the point is that the draw came out yesterday. Q2 yesterday, quarter number two. Kelly, this is the most competitive draw I remember seeing, most competitive quarter that I ever remember seeing in any future, any Grand Slam ever. Here are the players in Q2 alone. Iga Swiatek, Jasmine Paolini.
Wow.
Elena Svitolina, Elena Rybakina, Belinda Bencic, Yelena Ostapenko, Swiatek's kryptonite, Marta Kostyuk, and Emma Raducanu. Now, for those who are not tennis hardos, you're like, what does all that mean? That means that I just rattled off.
And Belinda Bencic.
I did say her. Eight players. By the way, Bencic of that group, probably the worst clay numbers currently, right? But those are eight players in one quarter that are capable of winning the quarter. So it was like, I'm certainly not adding to Iga. And who the heck, by the way, who the heck knows who was coming out of that quarter? This is what I mean by the draw determines so much. It's like they basically froze you on bets by doing that. Elena Sabalenka, the obvious favorite in quarter number one. Q3 is a little more competitive because Mira Andreeva and Karolina Muhova and Jessie Pegula are in there. That's a tougher one. And then Coco Gauff got the best of this, I think we all agree. Quarter four, that's her quarter. This is Coco's moment, man. She's got to be able to, and I didn't put a bet down on Coco. I know that Zach Cohen did. He's got Coco to win this at plus 550. But I was saying the other day on air, I was like, Coco's about a year away from being sort of the disappointment whispers coming in. She's got one slam, the U.S. Open. She's got one 1,000, which is the highest level tournaments under the slams. And she's got one WTA finals. She's still 21. There's not a disappointment whisper yet. But this is her moment. She got to win a tournament like this.
So is this fair for me to describe it like this? Coco got off to a bad start this year, right? You guys were all of you were pretty down on her, and then she's bounced back a little bit?
She's played worse in the past. Like last year, she had like a real bad stretch. Her raw clay numbers over the course of the last year, and that's the thing with Iga, right? 2 years ago, her numbers were, I'll do my serve percentage in return,
yeah,
113 aggregate, then it went to 109 last year, and then 103 now, right? So it's a line on a graph. But if you do the one-year numbers, it's Iga, it's Coco, it's, you know, again, Svitolina, and then there's some weird sort of outliers like Osaka and Alexandrova. But anyway, this is Coco, this is set up perfectly for her. But for me, because of the way the draw shook out, there is no bet. On the flip side, the way that the men's draw, this is the beauty of draws sometimes, it like paints a beautiful picture. It's just like, oh my God, this is perfect for these two players. And so on the men's side, we all sort of agree, Jannik Sinner, Carlos Alcaraz, it's going to be that final. It's destined to happen. It's a collision course. But remember, they can only inhabit two quarters, obviously, right? So Sinner's in the first quarter. And by the way, his quarter is very competitive. And I did make the point on the podcast that if we had not seen him play one tournament from his suspension, maybe we would feel different about Sinner, because he does have some great clay court players and some great all court players in his quarter. But he's still Jannik Sinner, and Carlos is in the fourth quarter, and Carlos will have no problem in his. However, this gets us to Q2 and Q3, and I got bets, yeah, Kelly.
And real quick, I'm just looking at the overall just odds to win, right? Outright numbers. These were, I believe it was Alcaraz and Sinner were both plus 125 when we brought this up the other day. And now it is Alcaraz even money, Sinner plus 225.
And the reason it's plus 225 is because of the draw he got. There's drift because in his quarter is Jack Draper, Andre Rublev, Alejandro Davidovich Fokina, one of your favorites, Artur Fis, Alex de Minaur, Laszlo Djere, Jakub Menchik, Hubert Urkacz. I mean, those are all great players, and some of them great clay court players. He's still Jannik Sinner, but yeah, he got a tough quarter. So while I think it's Sinner and Alcaraz, Sinner definitely has a harder road than Alcaraz does. Anyway, Q2 and Q3 is where the bets are. This is where the cookie crumbled, and it was perfect. Like as soon as the draw just immediately paints a picture, and you're like, oh yeah, this is the obvious bet. So in Q2, that is the Sasha Zverev quarter, if you will, right? He has not been playing his best tennis. That's an understatement. It's also the quarter that Novak Djokovic inhabits. And so the non-tennis hardo will look at both of those players and they'll say, well, Zverev and Djokovic, right? They're destined to meet in that quarter, that quarter final. Not to me. Francisco Cerúndolo. He is an Argentine. He is a clay court specialist. A lot of these Argentinian and Chilean players are. That's how they grew up playing on clay. But Francisco Cerúndolo is a great clay court player who has had success here. 2 years ago, he lost in the fourth round, meaning the round of 16, in a five-set, final set tiebreaker to your guy, Olga Rune,
Ogarune.
And he lost in that five-set tiebreaker, 10-7, I believe it was. And then last year, he lost to Novak in five sets in the fourth round, the round of 16. I think this is his breakout year. It's not like he's coming out of nowhere. He's a clay court specialist, plus 550 to win that quarter. Step aside Sasha Zverev, step aside Novak Djokovic, Francisco Cerundolo.
I like
to
it.
Win the second quarter at plus 550. And then in the third quarter, this is Taylor Fritz's quarter, which, by the way, Taylor Fritz's clay numbers are not good at all by comparison. But this player, he's the fifth in the outright market, is Lorenzo Musetti, who in Monte Carlo about a month ago found something, and he even said out loud, he goes, I feel like a top 10 player now. Well, guess what? He is. And he's going to win this third quarter. Tiafo Rune, by the way, the aforementioned Holger Vitus Nadskov Rune is also in that quarter, as is clay court specialist Sebastian Baez, Tomas Mahach. But this is Musetti's to win, and I got Musetti at plus 180. These were the shout out to MGM. They were the first shop to have out quarters.
Did you check stations?
I did not check stations.
Come on, Gil.
I did not check stations.
I'll check at the break for you.
But DraftKings didn't have them up. William Hill, Caesars didn't have them up. Maybe they have them up now as we do this show.
MGM has been awesome.
But I'll inevitably check stations and I'll be like, oh my God, these numbers. And then you'll get there and it'll be a pain to bet them.
I got one guy to ask you about real quick. I just caught his odds that are very long and feel like you and Drew were talking about him early in the year. Yao Fonseca, 80-1. Did he get a bad draw?
Clay is not his thing.
Oh, okay. More of that.
So, as I look at the numbers, no.
Okay.
Yeah. Cerundolo to win second quarter, plus 550. Musetti to win the third quarter, plus 180. Those are my bets. And I got that ego bad number still in pocket as well. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten from under a cloud of smoke. What he's thinking, what he's betting next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Smarta bets start here. And last all year with VSiN Pro. Right now, sign up on an annual subscription. Get 14 months for just $199 when you use promo code PRO. That's two extra months free for less than 50 cents a day. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and their guests. Real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. 24-7 video access on the VSiN Watch app. Plus full access to VSiN.com's analytics, betting trends, and expert breakdowns. Don't wait. Do not wait. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code PRO to lock in the offer. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
Remember, that's a one-year deal where the price has been slashed down to $190.
Well, it's 14 months is what it is.
There you go. Where the price has been slashed.
Kelly just comes to work because that's all he wants to do. He just wants to shout slashed.
I think it's a little curious that wording disappeared from our reads.
Slash?
Yeah.
Oh, you think you made that happen by...
Maybe, yeah.
They're like, we'll fix Kelly.
Maybe someone's sitting there saying, I don't know if I like that.
We'll fix him.
Yep.
By the way, my theory here, my operating theory that the NBA conference final series might both be short. How about the NHL? Florida Panthers.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, boy.
And the Carolina Hurricanes. That's looking like it might be lickety-split. Florida just dominating. Hurricanes had, 16 shots on goal yesterday? The whole game?
Yes. Yeah. I heard that this morning.
16 SOGs.
16.
That is not good. And by the way, they crushed the Caps. So it's like, okay, hockey's happening. So Florida on their way to making a quick series there. I do think of the four series, and I know Knicks fans are like, how are you saying that the Knicks are going to get knocked out early? I do think Edmonton-Dallas will be of the four series, will be the most competitive.
Even with my limited hockey knowledge, I'm going to agree with you.
Yeah.
Like, those are two good teams, and yeah, I think that goes back and forth as we saw in game one.
Not that game one wasn't competitive between the Pacers and Knicks, but you get the idea. I just think it might be a quick series. And again, the NBA Finals, the way that they schedule it, the NBA Finals is the only one that's locked into dates because the NBA wants to have that set in stone. June 5th. So what is it now? May 23rd? So we're 13 days away from that. So again, we have the looming specter of a big break between the finals and the conference finals and the NBA finals if these series are to be very quick.
I mean, it kind of naturally happens anyways, right? Like, even if these series went six games.
Yeah, they have to go long for it to seem kind of, you know, normal scheduling.
Just trying to think. Even if it goes six, though, we're talking about like a week off then.
The NBA season goes from what, October to like late June now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
And then preseason happens. You're like, what? They're playing preseason already?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yesterday, we started Are We Sure? Estamos Seguros.
We started it late.
But we ran it into a wall. My bad. We continue now with Are We Sure?
You think you know what's going on in the sports betting world?
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Gil and Kelly tackle the hard-hitting questions on another exciting edition of Are We Sure?
Oh, it is exciting. Who said Are We Sure on that promo, right? On that preview right there? And who said, who was the female voice?
It's Pesci and Tomei from My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, is that who that was?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Marissa Tomei.
It's when she's on the stand and he's questioning her.
Utes? Did you say Utes?
Utes.
All right, what do we got?
I actually ended up watching a game. I meant to send this to Rob. Somehow yesterday I was watching something on YouTube, and you know how it goes after like a video plays on YouTube, it goes to either something you've already watched or something you might be interested in.
Yeah.
It went into a full lawyer breaking down full legal analysis of My Cousin Vinny, because I had been searching for My Cousin Vinny clips for that open, and I ended up watching it for like 8 minutes because it was actually fascinating. Anyways, hey, Gil, we sure Giannis Antetokounmpo should want out of Milwaukee?
Yes, we are sure. We're sure because they're in cap hell. He'll never get the supporting cast he wants. And yeah, he's earned that, right? Right. Was it Wyatt Tomchek and all the other Bucks fans who are like, what was it? We had Nick Whalen on from Prop Points. And he was just like, you know, he's a big Bucks fan. They're like, yeah, he won us a championship. He deserves it. 100% he should want out.
I also think the great people of the great state of Wisconsin are a little nicer with their athletes than a lot
That's
of people.
That's what I said at the time,
Speaking of former athletes from the great state of Wisconsin, are we sure Aaron Rodgers will actually be the Steelers' starting quarterback week one?
Okay, we're not 100% sure.
Why is nobody else talking about this?
Well, because we got tired of it. Because he's an egomaniacal, look at me, I'm not the story, but I'm going to make myself the story kind of guy.
Am I the only one that thinks it's weird that we're sitting here at the end of May talking about, this week we talked about a potential massive rule change in the NFL.
Yeah.
With the season starting in like 2.5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And the Steelers are just like, meh, we think we have a quarterback. We've penciled in a quarterback. We're good.
I am led to believe that the date for when we will know for sure about Aaron Rodgers is June 10th. Because I think that's when the... that's when
folks camp started.
When
something.
When you sort of have to commit to it. So June 10th, I think, is the sort of the date, the line in the sand. And until then, I don't want to talk about him. So we're not sure. We're not 100% sure. But let's put it this way: I think people who think it's like absolutely 100%. Like, would it surprise you if Aaron Rodgers, after all this, was like, "Oh, I'm retiring"?
No, not at all.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like, I think it's closer to 50-50 still, and everybody seemingly just like penciled him in. I mean, the other part of it, Gil, is it goes back to what we said as soon as he kind of got linked to Pittsburgh, where it's like Mike Tomlin and him really going to coexist? Like that's cool. So you're telling me Mike Tomlin is sitting there watching camps and practices and stuff already beginning. He's in communication with all of his players, and he's okay with the quarterback leader of the team just not even being on the team yet?
Oh, I don't know if he's okay with it, but right now they have Mason Rudolph, Skylar Thompson, and Will Howard.
Yeah, good luck with that.
So I just think they're just hoping at this point.
Yeah. Okay, are we sure? This goes back to Fezzik Wednesdays. Are we sure the Blue Jays can't make the playoffs?
Because Steve Fezzik had a baseball bet where he laid the wood on the Blue Jays missing at -350. And the question was, are we sure that they what? Can't miss?
Yeah. Are we sure they won't make the playoffs?
I mean, I think they're a favorite to miss. But yesterday beat the Padres again, by the way. By the way, the Padres, can I just say this off air? Our Padres pick, because we update this every day, the May wins. It's become so comical that the Padres, like, you can't make this up, the streak finally broke at 0-38 with runners in scoring position.
My God.
Hitless streak, 0-38 with runners in scoring position. And the only reason it broke is because they went to extra innings and they put the ghost man at second, so they had more opportunities to do it. And finally, Luis Arraez got himself an RBI and a hit with a runner in scoring position. The record again for most consecutive runners in scoring position at bats without a hit was 45 in a row. 45 in a row.
Whew.
and they got to 38, our pick to have the most wins in the month of May. Like, you just have to laugh at that point. You're like, really? We're setting records for futility with runners in scoring position? Here is the May most wins update. Kelly, we have a new leader in the clubhouse.
Oh, you got to be excited about that.
So when I went through the five again at the beginning, the Padres were the one of the five that I picked. The others I'm considering were Phillies, Tigers, Cubs, and Giants. Well, look who's at the top. Phillies are at the top, 15-5. The Twins, who we had in March, April, are 14-4. And the Tigers, who we also considered with the Phillies, 14-6. Any way you slice it, if one of those three teams wins, I hate myself. So please, Cardinals and Yankees, why don't you make this happen for me? Just so I don't have to hate myself anymore. Anyway, back
to a big Yankees fan for the next few days.
I know, right? That goes against my DNA. What? So back to the Blue Jays. No, we're not 100% sure. We are obviously, I mean, it's not priced as 100%, but it's just the Blue Jays don't look, on paper, they don't look great, but the league, the American League is gettable. So, I mean, right now, the Blue Jays are a game above 500, and there's still a bunch of teams that have better records than them, including four teams in the AL Central alone, the Mariners and Astros in the West, not to mention the Yankees on top of them in the East. So they got to get through. But no, the answer is we're not 100% sure.
All right.
As it could be wrong.
I believe it was about a month ago, Will Hill brought up this bet. I thought it was a great bet at this time. It's still only May. Are we sure 12-1 on the field is still a good bet against Aaron Judge to win MVP?
Yeah, because it's May 23rd. Yes, it is a good bet. Now, I mean, if it continues as is, then obviously it's a terrific
bet. It's becoming absurd.
But it's May 23rd. I don't know if you know this, but the season like started a minute ago. We're only like a quarter and change through the season, so much can happen. God forbid an injury, right? That's the first thing that could happen. But also just maybe he goes into some sort of weird funk. We don't know. It's not like Aaron Judge doesn't have a history of injuries. Here it is. Look at that. This is just, by the way, this is not the versus the field market, but just to take a glance at this market, Aaron Judge minus 2,500, Bobby Witt Jr. 13-1, and everybody else 50-1 or longer.
It's May 23rd. Would you rather, if you had to bet this actually, would you rather take the field or would you rather take one of these like super bombs? I mean, like a Gunnar Henderson,
field.
Right? I'm just throwing
field.
It out. Okay.
Field. Because I couldn't tell you who amongst them would be the person.
Because you're still like, okay. I mean, and that would be the important thing. But in theory, if Judge gets hurt tomorrow, right, like that's 90, it's not 90-1 anymore on a Gunnar Henderson.
That's correct. Yep. All right. Are we sure? Estamos seguros. Usually takes us 2 days now because we're all talking about other stuff. college baseball, Matt Grissom. What to bet as the conference tournaments are upon us and the College World Series to come next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Majestic downtown. Skill Alexander. Kelly's here as well. Kelly's behind the glass because in studio now, just hanging out at Circa in town. Talk some college baseball with us from collegebaseballinsiders.com. It's Matt Grissom. What's happening?
Feel bad that we kicked Kelly out. Plenty of room here.
Well, you know, we want to do the thing where he sits in the middle, but it's a little awkward because then he's like looking back like a tennis match.
I've seen on Twitter that's a problem. The broken chair. Hopefully it's out of here.
Jeff Benson got the worst of that.
I know.
Yeah.
Poor Jeff.
Are you, before we get to college baseball, are you someone who enters those football contests?
I have played in Survivor the last, what, 4 years?
How far did you get? Not as far as you needed to.
Yeah, last year was my first year that I didn't play. So I'm going back in the thinker. I want to say it was Cleveland Browns game. I had picked the other team, maybe the Bengals. It was a huge upset.
Yeah.
And at that point, I like, this is the biggest crapshoot. I don't want to do this. I'll focus on college baseball.
So is that a no that you're not going to enter the grandissimo
$100,000
entry one? You're not going to do that?
Definitely not.
No, you're not going to do that one. Yeah.
How many entries do you think we get?
I asked the same question of Kelly this morning. I'll set the total at 30 entries, over or under.
I think they go under that.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Under.
I think 20 would be good.
Oh, man, it would be great.
But, you know, an overlay if you don't get that. So.
Yeah. I'll do the classic one. I'll do Circus Survivor Classic, $15 million guarantee this year.
What's the furthest you've made it?
The first year that they had Circus Survivor, I got to week 14. And then the Rams, as 17-point home favorites against the Jets, lost outright.
Mine was, it dawned on me. Tommy DeVito game.
Tommy DeVito.
Came in for the Giants, and it was, yeah.
It's all coming back terrible. To you.
Yeah.
All
bad
right.
Memories.
To college baseball, just for everybody who are not locked into college baseball, give us a sense of where we are right now in terms of conference tournaments, College World Series, the schedule right here.
So the biggest date to remember is Monday. That's when the field of 64 is going to be announced. Right now we've got conference tournaments going on. The teams from the ACC, SEC, who had a double bye, like Arkansas, LSU, they have yet to even play. And so that's going to be something we will get into here with the individual games. But you're going to have a lot of starting pitchers available for the teams that have the double bye. Mm-hmm. First, maybe your second, third, fourth arm coming out from the guys that started playing Tuesday. So definitely some big advantages here, especially with the aces. So lines haven't all caught up to that.
Did the conferences do this because they wanted to maximize, or they wanted to ensure as much as they could that their best teams get to the round of 64?
Yes and no. But I think what you do over a 30 conference game season should weigh a lot more than if you go 2-1 this weekend. Because it matters, but it doesn't matter. There's a reason they crown a regular season conference champ. But, again, you're going to have a lot of stolen bids because these teams get hot. We almost saw Cal do it in the ACC. But
this is like the West Coast Conference Tournament college basketball, right? Gonzaga and St. Mary's, it's like this really long horizontal bracket where Gonzaga and St. Mary's chill for three rounds.
Yeah, that's essentially what it is.
Right, and then they just show up for the semis. Yeah.
Yes. But on the flip side, where like Dallas Baptist ran away with their conference, if another team sneaks up, knocks off Dallas Baptist and goes on to win the conference, now they've stolen a bid from maybe a Florida or Texas A&M, a team that was kind of on the bubble, but so far everybody looks like they're in.
All right, so you have game plays today. Do you have what do you have for us?
Yeah, Kelly Bidlin's Florida State Seminoles. Jamie Arnold's going against Owen Proch for Duke.
Jamie Arnold feels like we've been talking about
him for
3 years.
We've been talking about Jamie Arnold for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Circa has a 170 right now, and our website projection makes him minus 228. So
okay.
Some value there.
So minus 170, a play on FSU.
Yeah, 170. And then you've got two tonight that Arkansas plays with Zach Root starting, and then LSU plays Texas A&M. A&M took a really hard fall, losing Jace Lavalette. Yeah, got hit on the hand, on the knuckle yesterday. He was wearing a soft cast. He's probably unavailable for the rest of the way. This is like four guys out of A&M's star-studded lineup when they came in preseason number one. They're going to be without him. Now you've got to face one of the best arms in the SEC. So it's kind of how much juice do you want to lay, but again, there's a huge advantage. I think Arkansas, LSU, you could parlay those two for about even money right now. I think they're both about minus 250. So
there are two games today, Arkansas and LSU.
Arkansas and LSU. Arkansas faces Ole Miss, who's on their second day starter after winning yesterday. And then Texas A&M is actually on their third in Miles Patton.
Okay. And when you say Laviolette is out for this tournament or for the duration here?
Probably for the duration.
Oh, no, that's
huge. And A&M was a bubble team. I think they've done enough up to this point that they'll make it.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you get now? You know, you've lost your stud Golden Spikes candidate.
Okay. So for those who are landing on college baseball right now and are like, okay, I'd like to have a bet on this to win it all. Where's the bet now? The aforementioned Arkansas Razorbacks, LSU Tigers are the short shots to win the College World Series. Plus 450 on Arkansas, 6-1 on LSU. It's an SEC parade. Tennessee plus 650. Georgia 10-1. You have to get to North Carolina at 13-1 to get out of the SEC in terms of the futures board. And then it's Oregon, Vanderbilt, Auburn, Texas, Georgia Tech. Just filling out all of the teams that are 25-1 or shorter. Where's the bet now? Is it on that board or is it off that board?
So it's interesting that the odds dropped Florida State so much because North Carolina did beat Florida State in a series to close out the regular season in Tallahassee. So maybe that's why, but I feel like North Carolina went from about 20-1 and now 13-1. Florida State was around, I think, 20-25. Now they're completely off the board. I'm not really a buyer of Georgia Tech. So seeing them up there and then Texas, hit or miss. They may be the number one overall seed. They're not going to play like that. I feel like they got a little exposed down the stretch once they started facing tough road opponents. So I know it kind of sounds like I'm leaning towards the top, but there's no value. I mean, Arkansas plus 450, LSU plus 600. Those were two that we were high on in the beginning of the season. I actually think I wrote up both of them for VSIN. I know Arkansas I gave out on this show.
Yeah.
And then what was it? Virginia. Who absolutely terrible. And I think a later point, maybe I said Georgia, Clemson, Florida State. But as of right now, I think Tennessee is still a very dangerous team.
Okay.
The sexy number of, you know, 10-1, 12-1 that you could have gotten last week. I feel like once they've made this run, now they've looked good. But they came in losing six out of their last seven SEC series. Mm-hmm. So everybody's kind of pumped the brakes on Tennessee. They may not be good. When you look at the analytics, they're a top 10 team in both hitting and pitching. Vanderbilt at 20-1 is interesting because they're going to be a national seed and like top eight national seed. So they're going to host. They're going to host a regional, then the super regional. They've been there before. I mean, they just won it in the last 5 years. And them and Auburn, like if you had to tier them out, I would say Vandy is a lot better than Auburn. I think Vandy is better than Georgia and Texas from the SEC. So kind of interesting the odds are what they are.
You know what I'm going to ask here? Because I asked it in some form of you last time you were on. But we have a history here on this show. 2022, Ole Miss to the title at 100-1. Obviously an SEC team that was not on necessarily, you know, anyone's radar, just like there, you know, there are many teams not on the radar right now. Who is the Ole Miss equivalent, like a really far long shot that has the players that if it coalesced at the right time, and if they, but remember the Ole Miss thing, like we avoided a hurricane in Miami that we even got the games in.
Regional.
Yeah. Like it was just, everything broke their way, and they dominated down the stretch of the College World Series. Is there a Ole Miss 2022 equivalent in this field? That right now in conference tournaments, you're not even 100% sure they're even going to get into the field, maybe. That's the thing, right?
I think it's got to be Florida.
Florida.
Florida. And they're dealing with so many injuries right now. That was kind of the thing that made Ole Miss special because they were getting so many guys back.
Yes.
Not the other way. Like I would say A&M and Florida because both of their metrics look really good. I mean, Florida's number seven in pitching. And I'm going to keep referencing the website, but you can go on collegebaseballinsiders.com, go to team rankings, and you can sort all these teams. So you can look that Florida is number seven overall in the nation in pitching. Yeah, they may be a grade above 500, but the tools are still there. They're still doing what they're supposed to do. They just didn't. It's a gauntlet of a regular season. They didn't win enough regular season games, but they're going to make the tournament. They did lose in the SEC tournament, which didn't really help their regional hosting hopes. But you can sit there and look at all the SEC teams. They continue to be at the top of the league and everything. Georgia, I'm not completely sold on because of pitching, but most of these other teams, if you'll just look at Team Sierra, look at weighted runs created, find you a happy medium that's, you know, top 20 in both. Take a long shot.
30-1. We'll allow it, Matt. Matt Grissom, collegebaseballinsiders.com, and of course, Grissom on X. Thank you, sir.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back to the numbers game, live from Circa, Gil Alexander. It's my little buddy Kelly Bidlin alongside. He's back in front of the camera here. Matt Grissom was wearing some boots that I could never have pulled off.
I could
have. You imagine. Yes, actually, you could have.
Actually, I don't know about them, but I definitely would have worn them. They were cool.
Definitely could have pulled them off. They were cool. Do you imagine if I had shown up and you'd be like, what the heck?
I'm telling you, yeah. Cowboy, I mean, not that Matt is, but the cowboy culture in Las Vegas, which blew my mind when I first moved out here.
South Point especially,
I had to stop. I've been losing a little bit of weight. I don't know if you know the skill.
That's never come up on this show, has it?
I did have to stop to grab I was going out and forgot a belt. And I was like, I need a belt. The pants I was wearing were falling down. I was like, I need a belt. I'm going to stop at Boot Barn.
Stopped
at Boot Barn, walked in there, was like, this is like the greatest place on the planet. Like, if you're a cowboy, you gotta love this shop.
Boot Barn, what would you say, like equidistant from the from Mandalay to South Point, somewhere in that area?
Yeah. So basically right in between.
Yeah. Never been in there.
Well, I never had either, and I'd always wanted to go in. Now I actually had a reason to go in, and it was as glorious as I thought it was.
I would have loved to have seen you walk into that place.
And then I had to do the whole like walker. I'm like, I got to check this whole place out.
Boot Barn. Time for G-Bank official bets of the show. And then once again, every show, every host, every guest, every sport on the network recapping all the best bets courtesy of G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. Once again, that's my Pacers pre-flop plus 140. I do a disservice to a numbers game listeners because with the contest, I just kind of decide on it there during the day, not here in the morning. So I had the over in the Thunder game last night that hit the day before. Had the Pacers plus the points. That ends up getting there miraculously. So again, the Pacers is a pre-flop number looking pretty good at this point. You though, sir, however, in addition to your Pacers pre-flop series price, you have some Knicks bets tonight and a prop.
Yeah, I'm zigging and zagging tonight. I will be on the Knicks full game and first half. I bet I like the most in this game, though, is Karl Anthony Towns over 23.5 points. I think Pacers had significant problems figuring out how to guard him in game one. We saw multiple players taking up that responsibility, multiple different looks that they were trying to throw at Kat, and he was still pretty dominant in that game, one of his better playoff games. I'm surprised we're still seeing this number as this low. It was this low yesterday. Maybe it has gone out to 24.5 or something like that. That wouldn't surprise. I would like the over even at 24.5, though. I think he has a big game. I think the Knicks need him to have a big game tonight and going forward in this series. I think they're going to be super reliant on him. He's got one of the best matchups on the floor for them offensively. So that is my favorite play tonight. But yes, also on the Knicks full game and first half.
All right. We also got some plays from our guests, of course, on the show today. By the way, that Jason Weingarten segment was awesome earlier, wasn't it?
Hey, he didn't make a single mistake.
Not a single mistake. Noops, Alex Noops Christensen was on the show today. He's got the over tonight. Pacers-Knicks over 224 at MSG at Madison Square Garden, New York City. The proverbial must-win situation. Well, not really, but the T-Wolves have the proverbial must-win situation in Game 3 against the Thunder. You do not want to go down 3-0 in an NBA best of 7 because you know why? It ain't never happened before that a team has come back from that deficit. Matt Grissom was just with us. He did not. This is his gameplay today.
Yes.
He's on FSU. Have you ever heard of FSU before?
Yeah.
FSU minus 170 in college baseball today. Did he end up giving us off air to make?
So we were discussing this. This market was up at DraftKings. I don't think I've seen it anywhere else, but they did have a market up that was to make the College World Series. That's down right now, I'm assuming, just because games are going on in conference tournament play. He said look out for Florida, though, in that market, so keep an eye on there. He said it was around 30-1. Yeah. He liked that bet. Florida, not Florida State.
Was that the fewest bets we've ever had on one show ever today?
I feel like, didn't we have one of these days in the past like week or so?
What would happen? Oh, the schedule talk with Warren. That's what did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that took some time. Okay, introducing, though, this is exciting. Introducing the $500 trifecta from G-Bank First Bet and VSiN. Trifecta, baby. All you need to do is open a G-Bank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your G-Bank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through August 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from G-Bank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSiN.com/G-Bank. VSIN.com/G-Bank, by the way. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. About that?
That's a heck of a deal right there. And then all you got to do, because no pressure again on Mike Somich, is you just go and throw that $1,000 down on whatever superfecta he builds up for this weekend, and then you're really rich. That's the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I like that Gil just agrees with me as he's checking something on his phone.
Well, no, I was trying to get Warren. I wasn't checking. I was texting Warren Sharp. I was like, give me that URL again so people can get their $1 football preview guide. Sorry about that.
Well, I think it's just go to his site, right? Sharpfootballanalysis.com.
No,
and then...
no, that wasn't the URL he gave.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There's not just a sign-up section there?
No, he gave a special URL. that allows you to then put in VSiN to get his 2025 football preview guide for $1. One United States dollar. So we'll see if he gets back to us here in the next 5 minutes. I'm kind of obsessed with this Killer Sports VSiN basketball challenge. Once again, Steve Fezzik has pronounced himself once again the leader with a 2-0 yesterday, 21-13 for Fez. This guy, he just loves contests. Zach is in second, 19-14. I'm in third, 18-14-1. Noops, who was on the show today, Alex is in front of me because he's got 13 losses in the loss column.
Right. Yep,
so
right.
Really, Alex and Doug probably have the, should be put in front of me. Someone wake up Doug, by the way. He needs to make some picks. He hasn't shown up here in the
Well, he's only got 13 as well.
Yeah. Oh, no. Alex has 14. Alex made a pick last night. Alex had a winner last night.
Yeah, no. I meant Doug with the losses, though. So he's got time.
No, that's what I said. Alex and Doug both have 13. You want to talk about...
But he's got time. He's got time. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, unless the series goes 4 games each, then he doesn't have that much time. You know how this works.
That's true. Thanks, Danny. Yeah. Sharp.football.
There you go. Sharp.football.
I also figured out how to get to it through the site, but still, sharp.football is easy.
Sharp.football.com. Put in VSiN. You'll get his preview guide for $1.
Yeah.
Instead of $35. And then there's Calais Bidelon, who's 16-14-1, and Kyle Akins. Those are the folks who are in contention here. Steve Fezzik. Steve Fezzik only has one more play in this round. So that's the thing, right? It's like he's just chilling at the top now with that performance last night because he had both OKC and the over last night. I just had the over.
Oh, yeah, I can't win this thing.
You can. Yes, you can. You can. You are mathematically alive. You just have to keep winning everything.
I only got 4 more plays left.
Yeah, but then you have 3 in the next round.
Oh, right. Yeah, finals. Forgot about the finals.
Do you want to talk about Belinda Bencic again?
I was scrambling to get sharp football. All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, again, Steve Fezzik has pledged to, if he wins, the $3,000 goes to Circa Room Attendance. I'm giving my $3,000 to the crew. As discussed, Kelly's keeping his $3,000 in his pocket.
I'm going to go throw it all on Red 23, like Jordan would have done.
Okay, so that's where that's going. And so, again, you are on the Knicks. You believe in the zigzag.
Yeah, I do. It's not as much of just going with the zigzag. I think there were large portions of that game in game one where the Knicks were the better team. I think the Pacers were impressive early, speeding it up. We talked about that going into the series, that was... maybe the thing I was the most interested to see were they going to be able to speed up New York, or was New York going to be able to slow this down and play at a more comfortable pace? And at the beginning of that game was lightning quick, both teams going up and down the court. I do think the Knicks got a little tired, and it going into overtime doesn't help things. But there were large portions of that game, third quarter, early fourth quarter, where I thought the Knicks looked like they had finally found a groove, settled in, looked like the better team. And I think a lot of that is repeatable going into this game tonight. What I don't think is repeatable is Aaron Nesmith never missing a three-point shot again. So, I like the Knicks tonight. It's not, I'm not going crazy here. Obviously, I have the Pacers in a series bet, so I thought this team would be the better team through a seven-game series. But I think it's a good spot to play the Knicks here tonight. And from the zigzag there, yeah, if they win and cover tonight, Gil, I'm probably back on the Pacers in game 3.
Was Noops on the over or the under tonight?
Over.
He's on the over.
Yeah. He thought it was a couple points too short.
Well, so here's the thing again, this versus real life versus contest, right? Real life, 224.5. Contest, 227.
Oh, so that got bet down from last night.
Yes.
Because we only get lines posted, like twice a day?
Right. 5.5 is the line, right, from yesterday, but it's 6 now in real life. Okay, not a huge difference, right? But the total, a 2.5-point difference.
All right.
So here's the thing, though. Like, usually,
me and you got to go like over then.
No, we would have to go under in the contest because contest. Oh, you're saying, you're coupling me with you now. Is that what you're saying?
If we're gonna be contrarian, right? It'd be the go over to 227.
I'm not at the contrarian stage yet.
Okay,
I'm on that guy's tail. He's not beating me.
No. Like I told Noobs, man, we just got to pick winners right now.
Yeah. But the question is, do I then go under just on principle because it's 227, or do I just, I don't have a feel for the total,
Me either, and I'm staying away then. Yeah. I'm just staying away.
I don't think
so. Or maybe.
Enjoy the weekend, whatever it is you're betting, including the Indy 500. Great appearance by Phil Bobbitt on the show yesterday. JVT next. Money moves right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.